The Transfiguration is about faith, about the faith of our Lord's apostles, Peter, James, and John, who are taken with him upon the mountain, and there they see our Lord transfigured before them, so that they will not be scandalized later by our Lord's suffering and death. They have to know that he has power, that he is more than he appears to be, so that they see in him the confirmation of his own words, so that they see that the miracles that he worked of curing others and raising them from the dead and casting out devils was a power that also would be applied to his own self, to his own body in the tomb. They needed this strength because they lacked in faith, and our Lord wanted them to have that faith, not only so they would be standing with him in solidarity in his last moments, but so that they could also walk in his footsteps. Later on, he would have many things that he would expect of them. He told Peter after the resurrection, "When you were young, you know, you went where you will. When you are old, others will bind you and take you where you do not want to go." And so he was strengthening them all here on the mountain of Transfiguration, hoping that they would heed his words and follow in his footsteps. "Unless you pick up your cross and carry it, you cannot be my disciple." Of course, we know that they failed to a large extent. John was there on Good Friday. Peter betrayed our Lord, and largely most of our Lord's friends were not there on Good Friday. It was only later that their faith was strengthened and they were able to emulate our Lord by walking in his footsteps. Today we celebrate the memorial of the seven founders of the Servite Order, who founded the order as the servants of Mary. They wanted to serve Our Lady in a very particular way, and they had a devotion to Our Lady under the title of Her Seven Sorrows, and they promoted devotion to the Seven Sorrows in a particular way through the recitation of the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. And it's in a very special way that we look to Our Lady as not only the image of what it means to be a disciple of our Lord, model of faith, but as our true mother in the order of the Spirit. Our Lord gave Our Lady to us at that supreme moment when he suffered and she stood at the foot of the cross. "Woman, behold your son." And Our Lady's faith is witnessed throughout her lives. And when we pray the seven sorrows, we say at the very beginning of the first sorrow, Mary receives the prophecy of Simeon in faith. The first sorrow is Our Lady's bringing Jesus into the temple and presenting him there, and her hearing the words pronounced by Simeon about the child, "He will be a sign of contradiction, and for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel." And the prophecy as it affected herself, "And a sword of sorrow will pierce your own soul, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." Our Lady received these words in faith, and she lived them in faith, and that faith took her to the foot of the cross. She's like a another Abraham. We're told by John Paul II in Redemptoris Mater, in his great encyclical, Our Lady, and this is a very patristic idea, the fathers of the church refer to this as well, Our Lady is like Abraham. Abraham was promised that he would have a son, and that his son would come through Sarah, and that this descendant would have a progeny without number. And when they were made that promise, if you read the book of Genesis, Sarah laughed when the angel told Abraham that, because she thought it was ridiculous. And the angel said, "Why did your wife laugh?" And she said, "I didn't laugh." And he said, "Oh, yes, you did." St. Paul in the letter to the Hebrews tells us that Abraham was as good as dead. and that God made this promise. And then when God fulfilled the promise and gave them Isaac, as soon as they had Isaac, God tells Abraham to sacrifice him, to take him out, his only son, the son that through whom the promise would be fulfilled, and sacrifice him. And the letter to the Hebrews tells us that Abraham was willing to do this because he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham did it because he believed in the power of God. So at the foot of the cross, Our Lady is like Abraham, because God promised her that she would have a son and that his son would be a king and his kingdom would be without end. And she was willing to surrender her maternal rights because it was the will of God, but she believed in the goodness of God and the power of God, and she believed in the words of her son. And so she was filled with faith in the resurrection, filled with hope in the promises of God, and she was willing to accept that cross, that supreme cross. She is the queen of martyrs, not because she died a bloody death, but her death is, her suffering is worse than the suffering of all the martyrs, because she sacrificed the greatest thing that anybody could possibly sacrifice, which was the Son of God. And so we, in our own sufferings, want to turn to our Blessed Mother and ask her for the strength to live our faith and to unite ourselves with the suffering of her Son. We come before the altar of God to do precisely this, and we do it with our Blessed Mother. We should always ask Our Lady to help us when we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to unite ourselves in faith with the suffering of Jesus, so that we might offer a sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. Because in the end, that's what our Lord is asking us to do. That's really what he wanted Peter, James, and John to do. Not just to be there in his darkest hour, but he wanted them to offer a sacrifice in union with his own that was pleasing to his Heavenly Father, to give to the Father everything that they had through the sacrifice of Jesus. That's what we do in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's what Our Lady did at the foot of the cross. She is truly co-redemptrix. God chose her in a very unique way to share in his suffering and to offer a sacrifice which is redemptive. Our Lady does that in a unique way, and that's the perennial teaching of the Church, whether you like the word or not, or like the teaching or not. It is, in fact, what the Church has always taught, that Our Lady offers a unique sacrifice in union with the sacrifice of her Son. That's what makes us Catholics, that we believe that what we do counts. When we offer a sacrifice in union with the Lord, it counts. It makes a difference. Our Lady's made a preeminent difference. But all of us have the priesthood of Jesus Christ. I have it in a very special way as an ordained minister who's capable of offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and bringing about the forgiveness of sins, the sacrament of confession. But everyone who is baptized is called to offer sacrifice in union with the Lord. When we are baptized, we are called to come to the altar of God, receive Jesus in Holy Communion, and unite everything that we have to him, and through him offer a sacrifice, offer even his body, blood, soul, and divinity to the Father. And that is pleasing to God. And so Our Lady should lead us in a spirit of faith to make an offering of sacrifice. May the seven founders of the Servite Order, the servants of Mary, intercede for us at this moment. May we assimilate the faith of Our Lady by meditating upon her seven sorrows and learning to have that faith which is unshakable, that leads us from the mountain of transfiguration in a spirit of faith and hope to the mountain of Calvary, where our Lord offers his sacrifice and where on the third day he rises from the dead.